Let's pray together as we come before the word of the Lord. Lord, we ask that you would help us to joyfully and humbly receive your word and be transformed by it. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, sons often look just like their father. They have this strong family resemblance. Now, some more than others, but you look at some people and you just, wow, I know exactly who you belong to, right? They walk, they talk in such a way that their family identity is given away. Well, in the passage of scripture we're going to consider together this morning, Jesus is going to draw attention to family resemblance. So I want to invite you to take a Bible and turn to John chapter 8. Jesus is going to raise and provoke some questions for us. Whose child are you? Who's your father? Who do you belong to spiritually? Now, Jesus, as you'll recall, is there in Jerusalem speaking to the religious elite. He's there in the temple with these Jewish authorities. And what Jesus is about to do is make clear the family allegiance of all humanity. I'll be reading from John chapter 8, beginning at verse 37. I want to invite you to follow along. This is the word of the Lord, God's holy, perfect, and inerrant word. Jesus said, "I know that you are the offspring of Abraham, yet you seek to kill me because my words find no place in you. I speak of what I have seen with my father, and you do what you have heard from your father." They answered him, "Abraham is our father." Jesus said to them, "If you were Abraham's children, you would be doing the works Abraham did. But now you seek to kill me, a man who has told you the truth that I heard from God. This is not what Abraham did. You were doing the works your father did." They said to him, "We were not born of sexual immorality. We have one father, even God." Jesus said to them, "If God were your father, you would love me, for I came from God and am here. I came not on my own, but he sent me. Why do you not understand what I say? It's because you cannot bear to hear my word. You are of your father, the devil, and your will is to do your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. But because I tell you the truth, you do not believe me. Which one of you convicts me of sin? If I tell the truth, why do you not believe me? Whoever is of God hears the words of God. The reason why you do not hear them is that you are not of God." The Jews answered him, "Are we not right in saying that you are a Samaritan and have a demon?" Jesus answered, "I do not have a demon, but I honor my Father, and you dishonor me. Yet I do not seek my own glory. There is one who seeks it. He is the judge. Truly, truly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he will never see death." This is the word of the Lord. Wow, well, this is an explosive exchange, and yet there's far more here than name calling. You see, Jesus is identifying who we are all by nature, who we are born of. Last week, we considered the words that came just before this, where Jesus made it clear that we are all slaves of sin by nature. And what we're going to see today is that he's going to go on to say that mankind is born of the devil. Jesus is here explaining our great need for the new birth, a need to be born of God, born from above, to be adopted into God's family. Now again, remember who Jesus was talking to, the religious elite. They're at the temple and they are confident that they belong to God. But Jesus is going to prove otherwise. So look again at verse 37 with me. Jesus responds to them, "I know you are offspring of Abraham, yet you seek to kill me because my words find no place in you. So Jesus acknowledges that the people he's speaking to, they descend physically from Abraham. They're Jewish. But he also says they are unrelated spiritually to Abraham. You see, they want to kill Jesus. They respect the one who comes and speaks truth. This shows that they're not really connected to Abraham. Did you catch the reason there at the end of verse 37? Because my words find no place in you. His words find no place in them. Over the years, I've had the opportunity to visit different places, to travel, and I've been the house guest of many. Sometimes I've slept on someone's couch. Other times I've been shown to a nice guest room. You know, I walk in like, wow, I really feel like the honored guest. Here's this big, comfortable bed. Here's snacks left in the room and a big picture window. Especially in occasions like that, I really felt like, wow, they prepared a place for me. Well, think about what Jesus is saying here about his word. He said, my word finds no place in you. Does God's word, does it have a honored place in you, in your heart, in your life? Not so for those whom Jesus is speaking to. He continues in verse 38. I speak of what I have seen with my Father, and you do what you've heard from your father. So again, how he's pointing out that there's a distinction in fathers. Jesus has one father, and those listening to him have a different father. They're not in the same family. Well, they are not going to like this at all. This will bring us to our first heading. Jesus is going to explain that Abraham is not your father. Look there, verse 39. They said to him, Abraham is our father. But Jesus responds, if you were Abraham's children, you would be doing the works Abraham did. But now you seek to kill me, a man who has told you the truth that he heard from God. That's not what Abraham did. You are doing the works that your father did. So Jesus says, guys, I know you're physically related to Abraham, but in a real sense, in a truer sense, Abraham is not your father. You should look like him. You should be acting like him, but I don't see the family resemblance. You don't look anything like Abraham. Look at verse 41. You are doing the works your father did. You see, each one of us is just a chip off the old block. That's what Jesus is arguing here. He notes that they want to kill him, and that they don't want the truth that he speaks of. You see, what's going on is they're rejecting the word of God. They're refusing to believe the words of Christ. That's not what Abraham did. That's nothing like him. In Romans 4, we read what the scripture says about Abraham. Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness. They're not taking God's word and trusting it, not believing it. They're not like Abraham. Well, look at how they respond. We're halfway through verse 41. They said to him, we are not born of sexual immorality. Wow. So Jesus says, your father's not who you think it is. And they say, oh, really? Well, we happen to know on good authority that, you know, when your parents got married, your mom was already pregnant. So if there's anyone who should be questioning about who his father was, it should be you, Jesus. You see, they are making an accusation. We are not the ones who are born of sexual immorality, but there's someone here. So they imply. They continue. We have one father, even God. So fine, you're going to say Abraham's not our father? We're just going to raise the bar. God is our father. That's who we belong to. Well, that's our second heading. God is not your father. Jesus says, Abraham's not your father. God's not your father. Look at verse 42. Jesus said to them, if God were your father, you would love me, for I came from God. And I am here. I came not on my own accord, but he sent me. You don't belong to Abraham, and you don't belong to God. Remember, he's talking to the religious leaders in the temple, and he just said, you don't belong to God. I mean, you can just see the anger in their faces. But it's not just them. Everyone wants to claim God as their father. But the Bible's clear. You can't have God as your father if you don't have the Son as your Savior. Look at verse 43. Jesus continues. He says, "Why do you not understand what I say? It is because you cannot bear to hear my word." Wow. Again, strong language. You cannot bear to hear my word. Now, there's some forms of music that I don't really appreciate, right? And if I hear it, I can't bear to hear it, right? So I change the channel. I want to listen to something else. Well, in a similar sense, that's what's going on here. You see, I doubt any of us, in fact, any person you met on the street, if you said, you know, would you describe yourself as someone who cannot bear to hear the word of God? Very few are going to say, oh yeah, that's me. I cannot bear to hear it. I hate to hear the scripture. Most people are not going to say that. But think about what's going on here. If you are consistently choosing to listen to something else, might it be that you cannot bear to hear the word of God? These people cannot bear to hear his word. They refuse to listen to it. They're unwilling and unable to hear his word. This is just like what he said back in verse 37 when he said, "My word finds no place in you." Or what we looked at last time. Look back to verse 31. Jesus said, "If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples." Those who he's speaking to, they don't want anything to do with that. They're not going to abide in his word. No, they say. They cannot bear to hear it. They're not willing. They don't want it. They refuse it. And they're proving themselves to be nothing like Abraham. Remember, Abraham received God's word and believed it. Those who belong to Abraham, they believe like Abraham. Those who belong to God, they believe. Jesus is saying, if you're going to reject my word, you're not of Abraham and you're not of God. So whose child are you? Abraham's not your daddy. God's not your daddy. So who's your daddy? Here's who: the devil. There's our next heading. The devil is your father. Look at verse 44, one of the most bold verses in all of Scripture. This is intense. Jesus looks them in the face and says, "You're of your father, the devil." What? Goodness. "You are of your father, the devil, and your will is to do your father's desires." You want what the devil wants. Notice it's your will. So he's saying, you can't claim that the devil made me do it. No, you want to do exactly what the devil wants you to do. Wow. These are strong, strong words. "You are of your father, the devil. Your will is to do your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning, and he does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of lies." Wow. The devil's your father because you look just like him. That's what he's saying. Last time we looked at how sin lies and kills. Well, now Jesus is making the point that Satan lies and kills. And those who are of Satan, those who are sinners, this is what they do. It's who they are. They're liars and killers. But we need to recognize that Jesus isn't just addressing these religious leaders. Jesus is actually addressing all of mankind. You see, this isn't just their problem. This is the problem of the human race. He made this clear earlier in the conversation, verse 34, so look up there with me. Verse 34, he said this: "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who practices sin is a slave of sin." He had said that they were slaves. They said, "No, we're not slaves." And he said, "Everyone who practices sin is a slave." So Jesus has opened this up to everyone. He made this a universal statement, and we're still in that context. But what he's saying here applies to everybody. He's saying mankind is born of the devil. This is bad. This is bad news. Jesus says that we're all born slaves of sin. We're born liars and murderers. Okay, at this point, you might be thinking, this preacher needs to calm down. Like, we're not that bad. And yet, that's what the Bible actually says. We're all born as liars. Now, if you're honest with yourself, you know you're a liar. You know that sometimes it's just more convenient to delve into falsehood. It's just easier to lie. We've all done it. But I didn't just say we're all liars. I said we're all murderers. I mean, you really might be having a hard time swallowing that, right? Are you a murderer?
Well, just in our country alone, every day there's 2,362 abortions.
That's 98 every hour. Now, maybe you haven't had an abortion, but we as an American people, we are complicit. Oh, we should be doing everything in our power to stop this murder in our land. And so many are just indifferent. In fact, let's think about the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus there taught that the root of all murder is anger. He says, when we're angry with someone, we've committed murder in our heart. Now, I know every one of you has been angry, right? In fact, sometimes we're so angry that we wish the other person didn't exist. I just don't want you to be here. See, what's going on in that moment is we're ready to kill him in our hearts. So whether we're murderers in action or simply in our heart, wow, notice that that's what's in us. Jesus is saying our hearts are corrupt. Our default setting when we're born is actually evil. Wow, these are intense words. Jesus is saying at the core, all of mankind is of the devil. We are corrupted. We are depraved. Wow. In contrast, he describes himself. Look at verse 45. But because I tell you the truth, you do not believe me. We're liars, but Jesus says he speaks the truth. And yet he's still indicting us. He says, because I tell the truth. Not even though I tell the truth, but in fact, because he tells the truth, he's rejected. See, people who love falsehood, when they hear the truth, they don't want anything to do with it. That's what Jesus is describing here. Jesus is also pointing out to the fact that, okay, we're like our father, the devil, but who is he like? He's like his father, who's perfect, who only speaks the truth. Jesus is showing that he's just like his father. And then to push that point even farther, he asked a question that we would never ask. Look at verse 46. Which one of you convicts me of sin? Can you imagine having a bunch of friends over for barbecue and you grab everyone's attention? Now, which one of you can convict me of sin? And everyone's hand goes up, right? I mean, because if people know you, they can point out your sin. But Jesus stands there publicly and says, which one of you can convict me of sin? And they're just crickets. I mean, no one can point out anything because Jesus is sinless. He's perfect. Earlier, just a few verses earlier, he had said that he always does what pleases the Father. Wow. He's perfect just like his Father is perfect. He keeps going, if I tell you the truth, why do you not believe me? That's a really good question. If Jesus is speaking the truth, why is it that people reject him? Everyone should just flock to Jesus. He speaks the truth. So he asked the question, why? Why do people reject him? Well, he keeps going. Verse 47. Whoever is of God hears the words of God. The reason that you do not hear them is that you are not of God. Wow. He's just getting more and more intense, more offensive. This is getting more and more painful. You're not of God. Jesus is saying it's really simple. You either belong to God or you belong to Satan. There's only two families. There's God's family, there's Satan's family. Whose family are you in? That's what he's delving at here. Look one more time, 47. Whoever is of God hears the words of God. The reason that you do not hear them is that you are not of God. Later in John chapter 7, Jesus will put it this way. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice. Everyone who's of the truth hears his voice. So Jesus makes a diagnosis here. He says, you can't hear, and the reason you can't hear is that you're not of God. You're of the devil. Well, as we might expect, this just makes those who he's speaking to more and more angry. Jesus just said, you're of the devil, and they say, we are of the devil. No, 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 you. If anyone's of the devil, you must be of the devil. So look at verse 48. This is how they respond. Are we not right in saying that you are a Samaritan and have a demon? Jesus, God in the flesh, they just said he has a demon. Not because there's any evidence of that. Rather, they're just offended in their name calling. They're just exploding back towards Jesus. They said, are we not right? Well, no, they're not. They're absolutely false. What they're doing is they're lying like their father, the father of lies. They're claiming that Jesus was born of a Samaritan. He had a Samaritan father, right? Again, there's this idea of sexual morality. The Bible's really clear. Jesus was born of a virgin. But they don't believe that. No, no, they think, surely, it must have been a Samaritan. That explains this. And more than that, you have a demon.
So Jesus responds. Verse 49, I do not have a demon, but I honor my father, and you dishonor me. So he denies he has a demon, and he affirms that God is his father. He continues, verse 50, yet I do not seek my own glory. There is one who seeks it, and he is the judge. So he's hammered the point that we're of the devil, and he says, and his father is the judge. Jesus is here threatening judgment. And the judgment that is warranted is quite clear. We all deserve the death penalty. You see, outside of Christ, without the Messiah, we're all sons of the devil. We're all slaves of sin. We all deserve wrath. All right, pause for just a minute. I want you to focus, listen. What is Jesus saying here? He's said a lot. It's been intense. Here's Jesus' main point, and therefore the main point of my sermon. Jesus is saying that we are not all naturally neutral. We're not born as a blank slate. Rather, we are born with a sin nature. We begin as those who are wicked. We are evil because we are of the evil one. We're born in sin. We're born of the devil. Wow. That's bad news. But I want to ask a question. If that's Jesus' main point, if we're all doomed and we cannot bear to hear his word, why is Jesus even talking to these people? Right? If they have no place for his word, if they cannot hear it, they cannot bear to hear his word, why is he still talking? Why is Jesus coming and speaking the words of truth to them? Remember, mankind is not of God. We naturally reject God's word. But here in the midst of all this bad news, there's still some good news. Jesus, having threatened judgment, next he holds out the offer of salvation, the offer of eternal life. Look at verse 51. Oh, there's good news in 51. He says, truly, truly, I say to you. Wait, he says to who? To these sons of the devil. He says, I say to you, O sons of the devil, if anyone keeps my word, he will never see death. Remember, he made reference to everyone as a slave of sin. And now he says, if anyone keeps his word, they will never see death. The truth is, we all deserve the death penalty. Yet Jesus is offering a way of escape. Well, how is it that we can escape the judgment that we, the sons of the devil, deserve? Well, that brings us to our last heading. We can become children of God. You can become a child of God. You can be adopted into God's family so that God becomes your heavenly father. So at the beginning of John's gospel, at the very, very beginning, the prologue, chapter 1, verse 12, we have this idea introduced to us. Verse 12 says, but to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. He gave the right to become children of God. That's adoption language. So those who believe in Jesus, those who receive Jesus, they get to come into God's family. They're adopted. But there's even more here. We have to connect it with verse 13. 13 says, who were, notice the past tense, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. So those who were born, not physically, but born of God, they are the ones who believe. Those who were born of God, they receive the Lord. They believe in him. And they become part of God's family. Wow. So what we really have in John chapter 8 is just a more intense version of Jesus' conversation with Nicodemus. All of this is meant to say, you must be born again. You must be born again so that you can hear and receive and treasure my word. You know, there really was a glimmer of hope back in verse 47. Look there again. Whoever is of God hears the words of God. So did you catch that?
I said that everyone is born of the devil, and yet here there are those who are of God. There are some in the other family, but they didn't start out that way. See, we are all born of the devil, and yet there are some who are born again. They have a spiritual birth. They're born from above. They're born of God, and they are the ones who hear the word of God. Oh, there's good news here. So here's what we need to recognize. Jesus is speaking to a sea of dead, stony hearts, to those who are of the devil, to those who reject God. And he says, if you trust my word, you'll never die. He does so because the Spirit brings life through the word. God always uses his scripture to bring about the new birth. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of Christ. This is how God always works. No one comes to faith without the message of the Bible being communicated to them. But when God gives people the word, his Spirit comes in, changes their hearts, and they love what they are exposed to. They love the word. Peter describes this. 1 Peter 1, verse 23 says this. You have been born again through the living and abiding word of God. This is how it works. God's Spirit comes and uses the word to bring about the new birth. The Lord said through the prophet Isaiah, my word shall not return to me empty. It shall accomplish my purpose. Just a few verses later in Peter 2, verse 10, it says this. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. So zoom all the way out. What's going on in John chapter 8? Jesus is offering mercy to sons of the devil. He's giving grace to undeserving sinners. You see, this is what the whole Christian message is all about. Salvation is all of grace. It's not because we're good people, we're horrible people. And yet God graciously saves sinners. He brings us into his family. He takes his enemies and calls us beloved. This is amazing. Paul summarizes it this way. We read it together earlier in Ephesians. By grace you've been saved through faith. That not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. Look again at verse 51. Let's make sure we understand what's going on here. Jesus says, truly, truly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he will never see death. Now, we see the death of others. We go to funerals. But Jesus is claiming that those who keep his word will never see their own death. They'll never taste death. They'll never experience death. You see, for Christians, for those who put their trust in Christ, they simply pass from this life to the next. They are those who have eternal life, so they themselves never experience death. This is an incredible promise. Those who trust in him live forever. But notice the condition again, verse 51. If anyone keeps my word, he will never see death. So what's it mean to keep his word? This means to receive his word, to trust his word, to abide in it. Remember what he said back in verse 31? If you abide in my word, you're truly my disciples. Yes, it's his disciples. They're the ones who never see death. So beloved, keep his word. Believe his word. Live on his word. Be transformed by his word. What's the application here? It's that we should hear and believe what Jesus has said. We should trust his word and live it out. And we should know that if we do so, it's because God has graciously brought us into his family. Christians are those who deserve wrath, but who have been graciously been adopted into God's family. Let's pray. Lord, as we look at these bold words of the Savior, we recognize that we are sinners. Sinners, hopeless without you. But because of Christ, there is hope. And if we are in Christ, we are now in your family. And we are those who will never see death. Lord, help us to delight in your word. Help us to meditate on it day and night. May your word have an honored place in our heart. May it be that we cannot bear to hear falsehood, but we love to hear your word, the truth. We pray all of this in the name of Christ. Amen. I want to invite you to stand. You can come on up. We're going to sing together in a moment.